if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Sir the Pod Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media Group and CMP Podcast. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Sander Sanchez, and Riley Barrett. How you guys doing?
Chilling, you?
Doing good, baby. How are you?
Good. I'm excited. It is Friday. I'm excited for the weekend that's coming up. You know, we got a lot of great NBA games that are going to determine the seeding and what's going to happen with the play-in tournament. But I'm actually more excited about something that's way more in the future that's very dramatic, guys, because week four in my schedule is circled for the NFL because Tom Brady is making his return back to the home he built. I don't care what nobody says. Foxborough wasn't named Foxborough until Tom Brady started winning games there. He's going to go back to New England to face off against his former coach and Bill Belichick pride. You know, us being Patriot fans, I know that we're very excited for this possibly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see such a – I said it, Sander. You know I'm half divided between the Colts and the Patriots.
I get it.
Nonetheless, let's just keep it going. I'm very excited because, you know, it's not many times where you see a long-tenured coach and player face off pride. So, you know, week four, it's going to be very exciting. Who do you think is going to win this legendary face off?
Well, first and foremost – I just want to say the GOAT's name, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. I got it out of my system. So I think the Pats are going to win. Now, obviously, everything I'm going to say, right, throw it out the window. It's discount me because I'm speaking as like a prideful Pats fan, right? I desperately want Bill just to get this win, just so Tom, for once, let's just take something from him. You feel me? Obviously, I still love Tom wherever he goes. That's my second favorite team. I believe he's the greatest quarterback of all time. No debate. But to think that Bill Belichick really taught Tom everything, that just doesn't sound right. JJ, we've spoken about this before. We've always thought, yeah, Bill never really vibed with Tom like that. He just never has. No disrespect to Tom at all, but he just never has. Like, he's always been about, oh yeah, Tom, you're the same as the last guy on the roster. So I just don't believe Bill taught him everything. Week three, the Bucks have to go to the West Coast to face the Rams. I think that's going to play a factor. I think, especially with how highly potent everyone's calling this Rams offense, I do believe it's going to take something out of them to the point when they come up to Foxborough. I'm not saying Tom will be up for the game, but who knows? Maybe some of the other guys won't. Maybe their defense will be tired because I expect that Rams game to be a shootout. I don't care what I expect it to be a shootout. I expect both defenses to look foolish. And it's crazy because both of those teams are top five defenses. So I think it's going to take a lot out of them. I think he's going to come to Foxborough. And honestly, when he comes to Foxborough, I expect it to be a very loving environment for him. They're going to cheer him, as they should. That we shouldn't do what the Cavaliers fan did to Bron, where they burned his jersey. No, anyone burns his jersey, you gotta come see me. Come take a one-way flight because you need a body bag. Point blank, period. And no one disrespecting Tom Brady's jersey. But I will say this. For their legacies, this game is very important and very crucial. I say that because a lot of people, me included, I say that the dynasty that was built was 50-50. I don't think Bill built it himself, and I don't think Tom built it himself. I think Bill took care of the defense, and Tom took care of the offense. I think that's what happened. So when they come in, basically whoever wins this game, because for all we know, this might be the first and only time they play. We don't know that. This might be the only time they play. So if they do, and whoever, let's say Tom wins, obviously Tom won't say it. But there's more than likely everyone who's grumbling in the sports world would be like, oh, since Tom won, you can now say Tom Brady deserves more percentage than Bill, and vice versa. If Bill wins, it could be like, you see, without Bill, Tom isn't Tom. Like, it's going to be like that. So, again, I'm biased. I'm a Pats fan. So I can't believe I'm saying this. And I know this is stupid, but I'm saying we're going to win 30-34. Yes.
You're not going to bet against Tom Brady.
Beating the hold on, time out. I'm not betting against Tom Brady. Hold on. Let me just set the record straight. Okay.
You're picking against the Buccaneers.
Yes. Thank you. Exactly. And there's a strong difference. Any other team, I'm picking the Bucs.
Yeah, I get it.
But since it's the Patriots, I have no choice but to pick the Patriots. Listen, bro, if you ask me right now, bro, we could have last year Cam Newton, okay? Our defense, Patrick Chung, good, don't come back. That's fine. We could have our team rated overall could be a 60, okay? We could lose to a college team, okay? But if you ask me who's winning, the Pats or the Chiefs, I'm picking the Patriots 11 out of 7 times. So this right here is just me just being a homer. I'm admitting it. The Bucs clearly are a better team. There's just no debate. But I don't know. I just – you know how The Rock goes, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? Well, guess what? We cooking up upsets. That's what the Patriots out here doing, bro. We cooking up upsets. Like I said, bro, I'm crazy. Call me what you want. But you can't say I'm jumping off the bandwagon. I'm still Pats fan. I'm still here. And the greatest head coach to ever grace God's green earth, unfortunately, is going to beat the greatest quarterback to ever even see grass, bro. Go ahead, Lee.
Oh my God, I love it. You see what I'm talking about, JJ? All that right there, that's the epitome of pride. Pride in the flesh. I love it. And respect it, brother. Go ahead.
Let me say just real quick. I just want it to be known because you're probably going to soliloquy on how Pats fans are spoiled. I'm just saying, if it was true, I would have voted for Tom. That's all I'm saying. Just in case you're going to say that. And just in case anyone is thinking it, I'm just saying I'm being a homer. Go ahead.
Jesus Christ, pride. Like, that was so inspiring. You understand? Because that type of fanatic, like, I respect that. You know what I mean? I'm going to always respect you for that. You understand? And, of course, it's a prideful pick. No intent. But 100%. Pun intended here. My man, the GOAT, J. Cole, came out with an album last night, and one of the songs is called Pride is the Devil.
Yes, sir.
And my man, pride, bro, you got to let it go. You got to let the pride go sometimes a little bit, baby. Right now, you're talking about a team that is fully loaded, okay? Fully loaded. You don't think Brady is into that game with the same intentions that Bill Belichick is going to be going into that game? He wants it just bad as Bill does. And not for nothing, let's not, like, just, you know, turn a blind eye here. Let's not act like the Buccaneers is not, from top to bottom, superior than the Patriots right now at the moment, especially with that offense, especially 100%. The entire defense coming back, including Shaq Barrett, 100%. Another year in that system. JJ, you preach all the time that players in year two of the system perform better. And my man said it in the beginning of the year as a joke, but I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on a mission. They're already going to go, at worst, they're going to go into that game with a win because being us week one. Okay, let's get that out of the way. So I believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be on a roll. So quite frankly, pride, JJ, Brady has – just because he's going to be on the field, as much as Bill Belichick would love to be out on the field throwing the passes and running the team, he's not out on the field. And the amount of talent that's on that field is he might not shoot up at for that level.
100% not. You know, he don't want to be a quarterback. He want to be a DS so he can hit Brady one time.
Bro, Bill Belichick wants to plug his controller in and play defense from the skybox. That's what he wants.
Yep.
But what I'm trying to say is pride. Brady's going in here with fully loaded, his guns blazing. Yes, the Patriots did an amazing job this offseason, spending that stimmy. So he did a phenomenal job constructing a team that could probably contend in that division. Is for sure looking like Bill Belichick is going to make sure they contend in that division for either a wild card position or maybe even take the AFC crown. You never know. But I tell you this, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Brady's going in there. It's going to be cold. It's not going to be blizzard cold weather. It's going to be week four. So he's not going to have to worry about the weather. Brady's been there his whole career. He knows how to play there, man. And I don't think there's anybody on that defense that's going to be able to touch Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Godwin. You got Bray. You got O.J. Howard coming back. You got Burnett. You got – oh, my God. It's just what can Cam and Bill Belichick do to stop the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And just like the Cowboys have a single shot, I don't think the Bill Belichick Patriots are going to have a chance against the Buccaneers. I think they're going to rout them.
Go ahead, JJ.
That's fair. But listen, this is how I feel about this. First of all, like I said, my heart, you know, stuff is going to be torn in this game because I love Tom Brady. I love the Patriots. It's going to be very dramatic, and I'm going to love every minute of it. But honestly, you know, one of the biggest questions coming into this season was not the rookies coming into it or who's going to be where. One of my biggest questions is, how is this Patriots team going to look? Because honestly, last year's team and this year's team looks like a completely different morph team. And right. If I got to take a guess of what I think it's going to look like, I think it's going to look a very good team. They seem to fix up all the mistakes that they've made in the previous couple off seasons, especially the tight end position. You saw that they went out there and they got the Smith guy, and they went out and got Hunter Henry. So they addressed that issue. I'm not the biggest Nelson Aguilar fan, but he's an upgrade from what we previously had. So he has improved every position. So people look at it like, oh, he's not a big name guy, but it's like, who are you replacing? And I think that's the most important factor, is the piece that you're replacing. Is he better than the previous piece you had? Then you're obviously a better team. By logic, that just makes sense. You know, Sander, you made a great point. Cam is going to be in year two. I think he's going to be more comfortable in that system with those actual, you know, dependable weapons. These are yet to be known, so we'll see how it works out. So I do think that they'll be able to hang in the game with Tom Brady. I do think that just by the teams, Tampa Bay has a better team. But I think that Bill Belichick could come up with a scheme to beat Tom Brady? Yes, I do. Because Bill Belichick put the diaper on Tom Brady when he entered the NBA. The NFL, sorry about that. You know what I mean? Like, he groomed this young man. He saw this man grow up before his eyes. He knows what he does well. He knows what he does poorly. So, and think about this. Bill Belichick is one of the best coaches coming off a bye. This guy said, forget the first three games. I'm focused on game number four because I would trade in 100 games of my career to just this one game against Thomas Patrick Edward Brady Jr., like Pride said. So believe me, this game is going to be arguably one of the best games of the season, Pride, and I cannot wait for it.
I think it'll be a good game. And like I said last show, Bill Belichick is willing to go 1-16 as long as that one is Tom Brady. And I feel like I don't know if y'all seen this meme yet, but it's the meme when Bill Belichick is walking into, I believe it's the Detroit Lions, and then they got Stone Cold music in the background, right? And he's just walking, and he just looked determined. He looks like he's just – that's the Bill Belichick we're going to see, okay? And, yes, you made a good point, Lay, about how, you know, the Bucks are better, okay? I'm not going to debate that. The Bucks are better. But – we have seen, especially in the regular season, we have seen upsets happen. This isn't the playoffs where experience matters greatly. This is a regular season. Yeah. Week four. You feel me? You're disrespecting the Patriots. You're disrespecting Bill Belichick. And I don't like that.
No. You're not going to like what I'm going to say next then.
But I know. I'm trying to lower my pressure.
Pride. So let me get it here. Go ahead. Yeah, Pride, let me get in here because I don't think Sander means all that. But I will tell you this, Sander. You think this is really going to be a Patriots home game? Because I think this is going to be a 50-50 game, because you're going to know damn sure there's going to be a lot of Tom Brady fans in that game. And whenever Tom Brady makes that pass, you might not hear all boos. You might hear an applause, because those Patriots fans, believe me, and I think Pride and myself could attest, we love Tom Brady even as a Buccaneer. He's just one of us, regardless. I do believe, and this is just a personal thought, I was going to say that I do think that at the end of Tom Brady's career, he's going to go see Robert Kraft and be like, yo, I want one of those one-year deal contracts where I could retire a New England Patriot, because he knows that's where he's going to be remembered as. And I think that, you know, I think he holds a lot of pride in that Tampa Bay championship. It's definitely, I think it probably equals two New England Patriots, just because, you know, he did it away from that. But I do think that his heart will forever always be in New England, and he will want to be remembered a Patriot more than he will be a Buccaneer, Sander.
Of course, 100% respect that. But I tell you guys this, I will remind you of this. The student, especially in the samurai world, the student eventually kills the teacher and becomes the master. So I think we're going to have one of those moments where the student kills the master and becomes the ultimate samurai.
Hold on, but time out. I disagree. Because we said the same thing about Sean McVay and Jared Goff. And now Jared Goff is in a barren wasteland.
So Jared Goff ain't Tom Brady, baby.
And what happened? But it doesn't matter. That was a master, and that was a student relationship. Shipped him off. Same thing about Drew Bledsoe. Who's not to say
Jared Goff and the Lions going to LA and put a woman on the ranch?
Yes. So all I'm saying is, and you say that, but at the same time, Tom hasn't really learned nothing new. And that's just because he's so great, he doesn't have to. But to say that Bill Belichick taught everything he knows to Tom, I just can't believe that. Because again, this is the same dude who took a job and like dipped on him fast, like for no reason whatsoever. He didn't care. This is a dude who we've seen time and time before, doesn't care. But if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Jamie Collins. He goes, Bill, I want money. He goes, I'll do you one better. I'll trade you the Cleveland Browns before they were good. Mm-hmm. So this is a Bill Belichick who's very meticulous, and I just don't believe he taught Brady everything. It's gonna be a good game, but obviously the team, the first ever team to go 17-0.
Yeah,
we gonna beat them, so it's whatever.
That's definitely a big prediction that we'll definitely have to touch on when the season gets closer. But Bill Belichick does strike me as a guy that has an ace in his sleeve at all times. So, like I said, guys, this game is scheduled on my personal calendar because I can't wait for it. But, you know, I do want to move on to an event that's going to be a little closer to us, and it's going to be tomorrow night because UFC 262 is set, and Charles Oliveira is going to fight Michael Chandler in the main event in a lightweight title bout, and I think it's going to be a great match. You know, both of these guys, they hit hard, and they both want to get a spot to be the next lightweight contender because, you know, now that Habib is gone, it's up for grabs. You know what I mean? So, or did I get that right? Is Habib the champion of the lightweight? Or was the former?
No, Habib, it's like, Habib this, vacated. This fight is for the title because it's finally vacant.
Yeah.
Thank you. But yes, and you know, I'm also excited because one of our personal favorite guys, Tony Ferguson, is going to fight on the fight before Pride. I know you love Tony Ferguson. You know, I do want to start this one with you, Sander. You know, Dana White knows how to do these UFC events, you know, and I don't think that 262 is going to disappoint. So tell me, how you think this night is going to play out?
Well, first off, right off the bat, you know, we have a matchup of the two completely different type of styles. We have Charles Oliveira, who's probably one of the top five best jiu-jitsu practitioners in the UFC right now. I can't name you five better jiu-jitsu guys in the UFC than a Charles Oliveira. He's that legit. And when it comes to wrestling and ground and pound, when it comes to Michael Chandler, he dominated in Bellator, you know, taking the championship over there, coming to the UFC, showing you Dana White threw him Dan Hooker, who was a contender at the moment, and was like, oh, you want a top guy? Here's Dan Hooker. Show me what you got. And he slapped him in the first round. So Chandler is no joke. Chandler's coming in here, pure strength, one of the best ground and pounders in the UFC right now. You know, if you watch any of his Bellator fights, the dude is strong, man. He has a really great background in wrestling. So it's all about matchups. And this is like two completely different styles where jiu-jitsu meets wrestling and ground and pound. You got Charles Oliveira, who looks like the more slender dude, doesn't pack too much power, but he's dangerous. He's like a snake on the ground. He's very constrictive. And Michael Chandler is brute strength. You want to talk about a comparison to someone in Marvel? Chandler's like Juggernaut, but you know, he's a little bit smarter. He's very particular in his shots, and he knows where to land to put you out. I'm very excited. Yeah. The card, I'm kind of bummed out that the Nate Diaz and the Nate Diaz fight fell through because I guess Nate Diaz got injured. So, you know, the fight got postponed for, I think, July 12th. So I'm kind of bummed out that we weren't going to see that tomorrow. So that's why Tony Ferguson and Darush, they got bumped up. But that's going to be a great fight, too, because Darush is coming off a winning streak. Tony Ferguson is out here trying to prove that he's still that guy that can make a run for the title, especially now that Khabib is gone. He's done with the Khabib thing. He wants to move on to the next thing and probably get another streak and hopefully, for pride's sake, probably make another run for the title. But, you know, Tony Ferguson is coming off two bad losses in a row. Charles Oliveira, you know, worked them. And before that, when he fought, I think it was Gaethje, he didn't look good either. So right now, Tony Ferguson has to, this year, he's going to try to run for the championship. If not, we might see by the end of the year, Tony Ferguson being released. You know, it happened with this, with Tyrone Woodley, and I could see it happen with Tony Ferguson as well. As much as he's exciting, if he doesn't produce wins, they might let him go because he is expensive. But there's another fight that's going to be really, really, really good, guys. Burgos versus Edson Barboza. Barboza's, I believe it's his debut at flyweight. Barboza is one of the best kickers in the UFC of all time. And see, he has one of the most iconic knockouts in UFC history with a spinning heel kick, head kick, first one and only one to knock someone out in the UFC. He's that lethal, and he's fighting a brawler in Shane Burgos who loves to bang. If he gets close enough to you, he catches you, he can put you out. So that's going to be probably my sleeper for fight of the night. But other than that, you know, it's going to be an okay card. The Tony Ferguson card, the first fight is going to be exciting. But, you know, I'm very excited for that Michael Chandler fight because Michael Chandler, he's going to continue to prove why he belongs in the UFC.
So who's winning? You said everything but the – like, you did everything but answer the question. Who's winning? Who's winning? Nope.
I'm saving that.
Okay. Okay, I get it. I hope I don't spoil it for you. So I think Tony Ferguson's winning. Let me just get that out of the way, right? This is going to be a very difficult test for him because if he loses here, he might as well just go home and don't come back. Like, and it sucks to say because, like you said, I love Tony Ferguson. Like, Tony Ferguson, what really drew me to him was the fact that it looks like if you tell Tony to, yo, that's a brick wall, go run through it, he'll bash his head and will not stop until it cracks. And then he'll keep bashing his head. Like, this dude, like, I've never seen a chin. His chin is on par with that of Chuck Liddell. Like, this dude really does have a diesel chin.
For sure.
Last few fights, he hasn't looked right. He really hasn't. And it's crazy because when it comes to the weigh-ins, he looks okay. When it comes to the face, so the face-off, he looks fine. Then he gets in the octagon, and you kind of take a step back and you go, where's that Tony that we saw 2 days ago? Where's weigh-in Tony? Where's that guy? Like, you look different. It's almost as if instead of, like, he's cutting more weight. Like, his cheeks look even more sunken in, and it looks very, very bizarre. So I have faith in him, even though this is the second craziest reach I'm gonna do this show. Trust me, I'm gonna do something way crazier later. But I feel like Tony
that's
still has a chance.
Boy, that's that Kukui look.
Yeah, but and like I said.
He's trying to scare you when he gets into the octagon.
If I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen him do that little woo thing. The last two face outs. I haven't seen him do that.
Winning.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. Yeah, bro. So I'm like, I don't know. Does that have to do with the win, or are we finally seeing Tony kind of accept the fact that I'm not that dude anymore? Like, it's a possibility that he's accepting that fact. So I think this is his final chance. Like, after this, if he wants to keep fighting for money, sure, because he's still a big name, and you could probably squeeze, like, a few more fights out of him. But I just don't see him fighting anyone else top 10. I think if he loses here, the only dudes he'll fight are, like, between 13 and 15 or maybe even unranked guys, and he's basically going to be, like, here's a test. If you beat him, you move up in rank. And that's what I see in future if he ends up losing. So, but no, he's not surviving in Bellator either. So that's not three losses in a row. The way Tony's been losing, I just don't. I see him just kind of calling it a day because Tony don't look the same. If Tony looked like prime Tony, and he was just kind of okay, the talent here is just slightly better. Okay, yeah, go to Bellator, go to one championship, go to the pro. But that's not the case. Tony looks. He looks like he's dipping. I think he can dig in and rekindle that flame in his stomach. It's going to be tough because, like, it's going to be 100% tough because Bunnell, this dude, if I'm not mistaken, I think his last fight hit him with, by far, the craziest back fist I think I've ever seen to the point where he hit him and he just walked off. I've never seen anyone actually hit a spinning back fist and then walk off like nothing. So I have faith in Tony. It's going to be tough, but I'm going to tell you this right now. If Duraish ends up pulling off this win and he ends up dominating Tony, this kid is going to be in line because obviously Conor and Dustin, they're going to be the thing. But behind them, if Duraish ends up winning another fight after this, his name is going to be in there. But I'm going to go Tony. I'm going to say it's going to be a third round knockout. Yeah. I think it's going to be a slugfest. And I just think one of them is going to land that one shot that – the best way I can describe it is when Michael Bisping fought Luke Rockhold, if I'm not mistaken, I think he hit him with a right. And he said, I felt it through my gloves. And when you feel it through your gloves, that's how you know it's a good hit. For me in this fight, the first one to hit one of those is gonna be whoever ends up being the winner. And I say it's gonna be Tony in the third round. Now, Sir Charles. Okay, first of all, let's just get out of the way. Michael Chandler's beating him. To me, Michael Chandler is a four-time NCAA champion. Never been submitted. This dude, Google wrestling, and you're just going to see him holding the American flag. That's all you're going to see. This dude wrestling, man, I think on the ground. Him right now. Bro, I'm just on the ground. I think they're a wash. I really do. I don't think Oliveira is going to try to go to the ground. I wouldn't. Only because, like I said, let's say he has an advantage. The advantage is so slim that it's like the only place he can really have some sort of advantage is during a scramble. But even then, Chandler, when he's in a scramble, his IQ is through the roof. So it's weird. I've never seen a dude in a scramble be able to think while scrambling. Usually when you're scrambling, it's all instinct. With Chandler, this dude is thinking like, oh, if you step here, I go here. Oh, you're over there, I go here. This dude just really tries to think 8 steps ahead, and it works for him. So I think it's going to come on to who's better in stand-up. And I give Chandler the advantage. Yeah. I'm not going to say it's a advantage where you look at it and you're like, oh, my God, this is Stipe Francis 2, or this is Connor Eddie Alvarez. Like, the striking is – it's. I don't think it's like that. Only obviously, the power advantage – yeah, because the power advantage does go to Chandler.
Yeah.
But Charles does have a chin. He does have a chin. I have seen him take some good shots. So I think this is going to go to decision. I have Chandler winning. Like I said, it's going to be a close fight. This is going to be one of those fights that when you look at it, you're going to have the Charles fan saying, oh, he won. And you're going to have the Chandler fan saying, he won. Like, I just don't.
He won.
I don't think. Yeah.
So you got to go on your decision.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to go all the way because, you know, these two guys. And on top of that, Chandler, he kind of reminds me of Usman a little bit where he can go 5 rounds. His cardio is phenomenal. Oh, yeah. He's got some great cardio. We haven't really seen Charles need to go into the deep water. We haven't really seen that. Now, that's not a knock on him. No, because listen, if you can finish the guy in the first round, finish the guy in the first round. Ain't no debate there. But if you can't finish that guy in the second, third round and you get to the championship fourth, fifth round, then, you know, we don't know how his cardio will be. So I got Chandler, but like I said, bro, it's going to be a close fight. I got Tony knocking out McNeil third round, and then I got Chandler – out basically surviving Charles in a decision.
Ooh,
Yeah, guys, I think between those two, you know, main and co-main event is going to be a great show. And I'm sure the fights that, you know, we didn't even speak of will live up, you know, to their standards, because the UFC always just never seems to amaze us. But, you know, you mentioned earlier.
Please, guys, watch that Shane Burgos fight and Edson Barbosa. Please. If there's one fight y'all watch on the undercard, please that card. Well,
the Barbosa fight.
That Barbosa.
Okay. Noted. But yeah,
yes,
you know, I'm gonna touch on the Tony Ferguson fight, because, you know, Pride, you made a great point. You know, it's been a while since we've seen, you know, the Kukui energy. You know, that's the thing that you said you fell in love with, when this guy, the guy that will move through the wall, woo, you know, that, you know, I think that's a lack of confidence. You know, Sander, you also mentioned he's come off some very tough losses that we're just not accustomed to, and you know, that does affect your confidence as a fighter. And I don't think that he's lacking it versus Benil, because I think they do match up pretty well. I think it'll be a good fight. I do think that Ferguson will keep his value up by winning this match. I think that it's going to work out for him, because I do think that the UFC is better when they have a guy like Tony Ferguson that you can sell to the fans at every, you know, set number of events, because, you know, we got three guys right here. We all love what Tony's made out of, and I'm sure we're not the only ones. So we want to see as much Tony as we can, because we love him. But, you know, with this Charles Oliveira and Chandler fight, you guys also made great points. But you're right. I just think that Chandler, it's just more a little well more balanced than Oliveira is. And I think that he's just going to win via UD. I think it's going to be a great fight. It's going to go long. I think everybody that's paying for the fight is going to get their money's worth. And those that aren't, you too, because, you know, Dana White can't catch you all. But nonetheless, you know, I do think that UFC 262 is going to be a great event. They never disappoint us, Pride, so I'm excited for it tomorrow night.
Yeah, 100%, bro. It's definitely going to be, but I just want to touch real quick. Maybe it's just me making an excuse for Tony, because it's a possibility. I feel like, yeah, we have seen a different Tony. What I think the reason he lost his last two, he was so desperate for Khabib, I actually think he overlooked his opponents. I genuinely believe that he went in thinking Justin Gaethje is this is going to be cake. And the whole time he's thinking about Khabib. And I think he did the same thing with Charles a little bit. I could be wrong, but that's kind of the vibe, because the whole time while he's like during the whole pre-fight stuff, this dude is still talking about Khabib. So I'm thinking maybe now that Khabib's gone, maybe you could try to say that again. It's a possibility that I'm reaching and trying to make up excuses for him. Because if he loses here and Khabib's gone, then, you know, you can't really use that excuse no more. But I have seen people use that as an excuse, and I can kind of see it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, he also did look bad. You know what I mean? So this fight for Tony, bro, it's by far the most important fight in his career right now.
For sure. For sure. And Pride. I would agree with you on the Gaethje fight with Thorbert, because he was preparing that camp for Khabib. I can't do that a second time in a row when he looked horrible. It would be one thing, right? Obviously, Gaethje dominated him, whatever, because he wasn't preparing for him. Okay, I'll give you that. Tony prepared for Oliveira. So this wasn't him going into the fight last second.
That's not what I mean, though.
It wasn't even close. Okay.
I'm not saying that, like, because of Justin stepping in. What I think is what happened was that he went in both fights thinking to himself, this is going to be easy. Looking up past them to Khabib. I'm not really thinking about the whole pullout thing. What I'm saying is he looked through them and saying, this is going to be cake. This is going to be a walk in the park. I'm at Kukui. This is nothing for me. I think that's the mentality he went. And he basically went in there saying, I won. Now let me work on Khabib. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm thinking. Like, especially with the Justin one, yeah, because of the short notice thing. But the Charles one definitely did look a little off to me, because I'm like, look, this dude's coming in and he made weight, and he's coming looking like he's a high schooler.
There's no way that Charles Oliveira should have been able to do what he did to Tony Ferguson that night
That's what I'm saying. Maybe he was thinking past Khabib. That's the only excuse I could really give him. Now, if he loses this fight, If it's close, okay, you know, it's fine. If it's a split decision, I think he'll be okay. But if he gets dominated like Charles did to him, then not only does that excuse go out the window, but he might him, Tyron Woodley, Alistair Overeem, and JDS, they gonna have a cute little breakfast club on where do we go from here.
Real quick, JJ, real quick, before you get to your next piece, I wanted to say, Pride, say that, right? Mm-hmm. We just saw our man Cowboy Cerrone get messed up. That's seven loss. That's like what losses in a row?
I think so.
And he's still, and not for nothing, my man's Tyron Woodley lost a few fights in a row, and Dana cut him. But Donald Cerrone out here lose seven, and he's still getting fights.
But here's my thing. Like, first and foremost, with Woodley getting released. Well,
Sandra, you do know that Dana White going to try to squeeze the most lemon out of that lemon.
Yeah, 100%. And another thing is, maybe it's just me.
Sorry, guys. You must have had a mix up there. But what I was saying, Sander, is that Dana White is going to try to squeeze the most lemonade out of that lemon as he can because, the UFC just makes so much money, Pride.
Yeah, and I would have released Woodley years ago, to be honest. After he lost the belt, Woodley is not that guy no more. That's just my opinion. Now, the reason I believe that he's keeping Donald in there, not because of his skill, but Woodley isn't the type of dude to take a fight short notice. Woodley's not that exciting of a fighter. Like, all that stuff kind of does matter. So with Donald, Dana knows for a fact, short notice, yo, Donald, what are you doing? And Cerrone will hop off his horse with his boots and his hat, and he'll waltz in, and he'll take any fight. He'll take any fight. If possible, Dana says, open weight. You fighting Francis tomorrow. Where do I sign? That's the mentality he has. And he'll go out, and he will really try to win. And that, to me, I think that's why Dana keeps him. Now, if I'm Cerrone, I retire. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because 7 and run, if I'm not mistaken, I think 4 or 5 of those came by knockout. There was a good chunk of them that
remember that Connor shoulder one?
Yeah, so like there's if I'm not mistaken, a good amount of them came by knockout. So, and even he said after the fight, he was like, I don't know what's good for. He's like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to come back. I don't know if I want to call it a career. He said he doesn't know. So honestly, I don't think he'll know until Dana calls him. There's gonna be another fight. Dana'll call him like, yo, hey champ, how you feel? And we'll see whether or not he wants to retire or not. So, but 110% with Woodley being gone, he should have been gone. Let him go kick rocks and be a street fighter like Kimbo. Rest in peace. Yeah. Go let him be like that. Because Woodley not that guy no more. And if any promotion puts their title on him,
he was too expensive, bro. He was like getting paid $600,000 just to show up.
And to me, when you start getting paid like that, and you out here fighting like me after my accident, that to me, you begin to lose credibility. You begin to lose credibility. I have no problem with Dana letting him rock and keep his Rory. Go ahead, JJ.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
All this delay.
Yeah, no, I agree, yo. And I can't wait for tomorrow. Like I said, Dana White does a great job with the UFC event, so that everybody checks out UFC 262 on Saturday. It's going to be a great event. But also make sure you guys check out our friends at Rocky Hill Accountants, with 35 years of combined experience. Make sure you let licensed professional handle your financials, because more likely than not, they're probably more experienced than you are. And my video should have played, but it didn't. Okay, there it is.
Oh, it did. It played.
I failed to play my thing. Hello.
Yeah, I probably that, but I think he's delayed, bro.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got a little technical difficulty there, but nonetheless, we recovered. It's Friday, guys, so I am excited. Yeah, I think I'm having a couple technical difficulties on my side. Everybody, I'm sorry about that. But nonetheless, it is Friday, and I do want to get to our blazing predictions because we do this every Friday. And, we got a hot hand in Sander, but I'm not giving it to you, Sander, because maybe me giving it to you first is what's keeping you hot. So I'm going to maybe She's about to put some bad juju on you, try to cool you off. So I'm gonna throw it to Pride real quick. What you got for you this weekend, baby?
All right. Way to catch me cold. So before anyone violates me, before anyone, I just need y'all to hear me. Okay. And I'm talking to you, Light, because every time I speak, you always try to combat me. So just let me finish my thought real fast. I promise it's going to be good. I promise. So first things first, I got the Lakers leaving the play-in, and I got them overtaking Portland, having Portland fall in the play-in. So, yes, I am going, as the children say, balls deep. I am speaking, yes, 110%. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself, because setting myself up for failure. I was speaking to JJ earlier, and he was like, yo, that's a reach. Like, you're reaching bad. And I'm going to basically throw out what I said. I'm not here to make easy predictions, bro. Okay? I'm not here to speak common sense, right, and then act like I'm knowledgeable. Okay? I am an idiot who does idiot things. So damn it, that's what I'm gonna do. You feel me? Alright?
Okay.
I got the link, and when after it happens, I'm telling you this right now. Everyone, I want restitution.
Okay.
When the Lakers make it out of the play, I want restitution. I want restitution from you, Light. I want restitution for JJ for saying that it was a reach. And I want a restitution from my man Jose, because he be disrespecting LeBron. You feel me? I don't care if LeBron cares or not. They're getting out of the play-in in the playoffs. And I want restitution for everybody who looking at me funny. I don't care if it was a sneeze. You looking at me funny, I want restitution. So the Lakers are getting out the play-in. Dame Lillard, Dame time. Yeah, bro, it's time to go back to where you belong in the play-in for you to lose a Golden State and then lose to the Spurs, okay? Because Lakers, okay, led by GOAT James, yeah, they in the playoffs. Book it. And now what?
Okay, and listen, I'm not going to let you go. Like, I'm not going to let you slide like that. I'm not going to let you get at my brother like that. To his defense, my man said the Lakers are going to fall out of the top five, and they did. So to his defense,
No. He said and in the play-in.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I want my
restitution. Weekend determines if he's right or not on that.
Basically, if I'm not mistaken, they played.
And that's where we still play their predictions. We go on the
final. I like that.
They played the Pacers today, right. I believe, and then the Pelicans on Sunday. Yep. So Sunday will, you know, after I'm right, you feel me? I'm going to be bragging like a dog.
Oh, yeah.
I love it, Pride, and I hope you're right, man. That'd be amazing to witness, you know. But I do have a prediction myself, and I got a feeling that a person in this stand would not like it very much. There's a matchup in the NBA this weekend between the Bucks and the Heat, and I got the Bucks putting a whooping on the Heat, and you know why? Because this Bucks team knows that last year this Miami team embarrassed us in the playoffs. Right now, Giannis is just salivating out the opportunity to be like, yo, I want the Miami Heat again in the playoffs. So what I'm going to do this weekend, before the playoffs start and they start getting serious, I'm going to drop 30 on their head so they know what it is to play big ball. So I got Giannis and the Bucks being in Miami. But I got a caveat. Giannis is dropping 30-plus points on your Heat. And I want that matchup because I think the Bucks got it this year in the East, and I think they're going to match up well against the Nets. And I hope they match up with the Heat and actually get the win that they should have gotten last year.
Ooh, well, so let me answer. Okay, go ahead.
Real quick, I just want to make sure. So if Giannis scores 29 and they win, are you wrong or are you right?
No, he got to drop it. I'm guaranteeing he's dropping 30 on Miami.
You said guarantee? He said book it?
He said book it.
I know he's dropping 30 at least. This man is mad.
Listen. The Celtics lost to us last year in the playoffs. What we do this year, smack them.
The Philadelphia
76ers, they were a top player. They were a top team all season. We smacked them. We at one point, we were up by like 25 at one point. And you telling me that we're going to lose to the Bucks?
I hope Giannis dropped 45 and make Jimmy Butler retire.
I will keep that same energy. I want you to keep that same energy on Monday, because I'm going to try to keep this one. Because
I got
I got you. Well, you guys.
I am very excited though because it is a rematch of the last year of the division of the semifinals. So I do think it's going to be a good matchup because it was last year. Even though Miami did end up winning the series 4-1, but it was a competitive 4-1, if that even makes sense. But go ahead, Pride. Sander, sorry.
So listen, you guys made great predictions. I respect it, Pride. I love it. JJ, I love it. This weekend, my prediction is going to be on that UFC. Pride, you touched on it earlier. I'm making my prediction bolder than yours. I got Michael Chandler winning, but by dominating Charles Oliveira. And the reason being, we've seen many times before where a fighter who's great at jiu-jitsu still get dominated by the stronger ground and pound guy. And Michael Chandler, when it comes to ground and pound, he's the elite, probably second when it comes to it. So I have Michael Chandler dominating Charles Oliveira with a third round TKO, ground and pound. I'm just going to see Chandler pounding his head off the canvas. And that's my prediction. Michael Chandler beats Charles Oliveira, TKO, third round.
Let me ask, right?
TKO. Because
you said with Yuri, right? It was going to go the distance. He got the knockout, you got the dub.
If he doesn't get the TKO, don't give me the dub.
Okay, I see. I just want to make sure so that way there's no anti-butter about it. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, if the Lakers go 2-0 but are still in the play-in, I lost. Just throwing that out there.
Well,
you feel me?
Well, how?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense because
he said that Portland will pull way out of it and Lakers will play their way in.
Okay. Then the Portland has one more game. So if they win that game and the Lakers win out, they'll have the same record. And if I'm not mistaken, Portland owns the tiebreaker. So by default, then I'm pretty sure they will still be in the playoffs and the Lakers will be in the play-in. So.
Okay.
But, yeah, so we just
– And like you said, if Milwaukee does win but Giannis drops 29, then I don't get the dub. But he's going to drop 45, like you said, Pride. So I ain't worried about that.
Yeah, bro, this right here, bro, my Lakers pick, bro, this is going to be – and when I say my Lakers pick, I'm not saying my Lakers. I'm talking about the pick that I'm saying for the Lakers. So don't get it twisted. Like, Don't try to play me. My Lakers pick, right? This is going to be the easiest dub I ever had in my entire life. So when
easier
I get
than the Canelo one? Easier than the Canelo one?
Stupid easier, bro. We'll easier.
See. Stranger things happen. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and our Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys visit us at our website, overpressmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys follow us on our Spotify page, CMG Sports, and Stir the Pot Sports will pop right up. Make sure you guys give us a download. We appreciate all the love. You know, it's been another great week of sports, guys, and I love us getting together and summarizing what it is because it's always awesome. And as you see, my man Pride is ready to finish the day and kick his feet up. Maybe you might have a little wine or something. I don't know what it is. Check my man out. See,
woo!
You know, my man sophisticated. He might play the piano. He might go read a book or something. I don't know. What you about to do, Pete?
Back there. Yeah, I play the piano. You feel me? It's what I do. I go ring, ding, ding, ding. You feel me? It's what I do. I'm a clown on like 8 different levels, bro. I swear to God.
Yeah, for anybody that know, my man Pride actually gives Alicia Keys lessons. So if you needed somebody to hook you up with your piano skills, my man Pride is the guy. Riley Barrett, Pride, Daniel Sanchez, Light. I'm your host, JJ Vargas. Make sure you guys follow us on our all social programs, and we'll see you guys on Monday again.